when you have a back of the pack dog, they're going to be leechy. They're going to want to be close to you. It's cute. It's endearing. But my goodness, with a dog that small, he could totally get injured, tripped up on, but also it's going to lead to further problems. That contributes and can lead to separation anxiety. Hello, and welcome back to Honest to Dog Podcast. It's your favorite dog trainer, Liz Foley, here with another episode with my loving husband,
Jeff Gadway, your favorite co-host.
When we were out in California just last, one of the students on the pack walk pulled me aside and was saying, "Hey, you know, I listen to your podcast. I love it so much." I didn't realize until like a lot of episodes in that you and Jeff are actually married.
Really?
So I don't know if we've never made that abundantly clear.
Disclosure, the host and co-host of this podcast are married.
Mm-hmm. And have been together for 14 years. So that is why we have such good chemistry. That is why we are so good and natural on this podcast.
There you go.
So anyways, I thought that was really funny and I would share.
If you didn't realize we were married, please let us know in the DMs. I would be so tickled to know if this is like the worst kept secret in podcast history or what.
That they finally find out at like, what is this? The
75th or yeah. Something?
Episode. Oh my God, shocker, spoiler alert. Okay, so anyways.
So we did a thing this week.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do, Liz? Break the news for those who haven't been following along.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the posts on Instagram, we adopted another dog.
Oopsie.
Yeah. We have another Chihuahua mix. He's itty bitty, a little bit smaller than Baker even, if you can believe it. And 1 year old, and he's super cute.
Yeah, he's like about the size of a deck of cards.
Not really.
Not quite that small, but it kind of feels like it sometimes.
Maybe his head.
So what we wanted to do today is kind of talk about him so that you get to know him as part of our pack, but also get into our decision-making process. Because we've talked before about how deliberate you need to be with adding a dog to your pack, whether it's your first dog or your third dog like it is in our case. These aren't decisions to be taken lightly. And so we want to give you a little bit of a behind the scenes look at what led us to this decision and why we're so confident it's the right one.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start with the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Blue. Blue's his name.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't his name. We'll get to that. But tell us a little bit about our new dog, Blue, Liz.
So Blue is little Roger from the previous time I was out at TCW, the one that we almost adopted and it fell through and we were kind of like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, we'll see how it goes. And so I knew he would be a part of this next training, Caesar's Way. And sure enough, he was there when we rolled up and we got to see him kind of the whole week. And he was, I think he got cuter, to be honest. And he opened up like right away and he remembered me because I was right there with Angela Aiden of Deserving Dogs. She's the kennel manager up at the DPC.
And can we just take a minute to like...
Huge shout out to her.
Huge shout out to Angela. She not only recruits all these dogs, like works with all of the different fosters and rescue organizations to pull together and curate this pack of dogs that are so critical to learning experience. But then she is the lead on caring for them all week long,
mm-hmm.
driving them back and forth, taking care of them in the kennels, working with your team to make sure that the right students get the right dog. Like, she is a saint.
And know what I just found out this last workshop? She also texts updates to each of the rescues throughout the week to let them know how the dogs are doing. She's amazing.
And then when crazy people like us from Canada want to adopt one of the dogs, she's got to run that whole process too and coordinate.
Yeah, she expedites it real good for us. So
Angela, you're awesome.
Yeah, we love you. Thank you for doing what you do. And thank you for uniting us with Blue. Through Angela, we talked about hosting him overnight so he didn't have to stay up at the kennels. He would come to the hotel room with us. And we set that up. And so we saw him open up even more over time. And we were just like, this is a really cool little dude. And he deserves a very loving home. And I think we've got a spot for him in our pack. I think we can do this.
So not only did we get to see him at the hotel, I got to see him a bunch during the day. And this is probably, you know, we'll go into more depth on this on another episode, but I took TCW as a student this time. And it just so happened that little Roger, or so he was named at the time, was in my breakout group most of the trainer demo sessions. So I got to see him working with other people, how receptive he was to training, as well as how he was with other dogs. So we really got it from kind of all angles. And I think what we both realized, we talked a little bit about this in one of the previous episodes where we had some concerns. Mm-hmm. I think we realized that those concerns were really founded on more environmental factors and him maybe in the context of that foster, not so much him and his personality. Because once we got him out of that scenario and into our little dynamic with us and Baker back at the hotel, mm-hmm. we knew that it was going to be a good fit.
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it, that it wasn't him as a dog. There was nothing as a red flag there. It was more about his experiences leading up to that point. When we saw him in a calm environment with us and with Baker, we saw him open up and be this very sweet, playful little thing, very much a follower, very responsive to feedback. So we saw he was sensitive, he was respectful, he was playful and social. We're just like, this is like a really good dog. We would be remiss to let him go.
Absolutely. Now, something I think that would be really interesting to talk about is pack position. You often talk about when you're adding to your pack, you need to get a dog that is the same or lower energy than your other pack members. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about how you would assess and evaluate Blue from a pack position standpoint and an energy standpoint?
Mm-hmm. He's a pretty medium to low energy dog. He's not hyper by any means. He can be quite chill. And for his age, that's really incredible because we figure he's about a year old. But he kind of has that puppy energy where he's down to play for a little burst. And then he can be quite docile, which is perfect. That fits in very well with our crew. They're not go, go, go type of dogs. They have an on switch, yes, but for the most part, they can be turned off and just chill. His pack position is very similar to Baker's. So he's either the same or a touch under, I think, of Baker's.
Like further back.
So he's probably back, Baker's probably middle-ish back. And Ty's probably middle. So we've got that spectrum and it's a natural progression or regression. I knew he would surrender and not be pose a threat to our other two boys.
And how has that worked out in terms of the dynamic that you see with him and Ty, him and Baker, yeah. Baker and Ty? How would you describe the new pack dynamic of the trio versus the duo?
So just as I had hoped, Blue is bringing out more play and happy-go-lucky in our dogs. He's kind of a breath of fresh air to bring love and joy and keep things lighthearted. And he's definitely doing that. And then I think I just proved my point of how he and Baker are very closely matched in their pack position because they're playing a lot. Yeah, it's really cool to see because I think Baker is trying to control a little bit that play and set rules, boundaries, limitations around it. There's a very much a brotherly love there that's already forming, which happens the closer they are in pack position.
Oh, interesting.
Because I remember that with Carmen and Ty, that they hit it off like day two. And so if you're similar pack positions, it's like when you find a friend and you just click, right? It's kind of effortless.
Yeah.
Versus what I'm noticing is Ty's being more distant. He has accepted Blue, absolutely. He's totally fine with him, but he's being a touch removed so that he can earn that respect. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, and I see it in the interactions.
He's not being rude. He's not being pushy or antisocial. He's just like, I'm going to give this one time.
It's almost like he's being distant to create that pull. Like, you know, when mm-hmm. you're dating, you don't want to seem too eager. You're kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
A little bit indifferent. And that like creates the magnetism.
Which is actually what I tell and encourage clients to do with their dogs. Play hard to get. Which I need to do better with Blue because I am not. He's so cute and so little and so sweet. And I'm like, I noticed Ty's behavior. I think I noted it to you. And I was just like, I need to be more like Ty. I need to pull back.
Well, that's probably a really good transition into some of the things that we're working on mm-hmm. with him. Because while we're confident he's going to be a really good member of our pack long term, it's not to say there aren't some things that we're trying to build foundationally from day one.
Yeah.
So can you talk about maybe some of the areas where we're either seeing some opportunity for improvement or where there are some little challenges that we're going to need to be very deliberate and thoughtful and intentional about?
So we've seen a touch of separation anxiety, bordering potentially a little bit containment phobia. So he's not the biggest fan of his crate. He whimpers a little bit in it and cries overnight when he can't see us, that sort of thing. He has a bit of a hard time being removed. It's not horrible by any means. I'd put it on a scale of maybe like a 3 out of 10 that we're dealing with.
Feels like more when I get up in the middle of the night and he's crying.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it with a little bit of redirection, it can be turned down pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Going through thresholds, like that's where I feel like the containment phobia kind of comes into play. Coming out of the crate, that door opens. It's like, get me out of here. And even when you're putting him in the crate, he's trying to like crawl up your arm. I don't know. It's just, there's an association there. And even with going out of doorways, that there's an urgency and a rush and a panic that we're trying to slow him down.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point in kind of speculating on story behind that because we don't know, right? But as a professional, how are you thinking about addressing that containment phobia? Like, what are some of the steps or exercises that we might work through to try to increase his comfort level with the crate?
I've been trying to do a little bit of going in and out. So you don't have to go in and stay in with the door closed. So practicing just going through that threshold a little bit. I've also been we've been doing feedings in the crate to increase the positive association with that space, right? So you get food when you're in your house. We've increased frequency of being in there where throughout the day, there are times when you go into your house and we're still home. So there isn't the association of isolation.
Crate means mom and dad leave.
Yeah. So, which I think is where his fear has probably come from, probably being thrown in and taken out quickly without thought or not even really used at all. Right. And so his association may have been up at the dog psychology center where we are being pretty quick with bringing dogs in and out just for an efficiency thing. So there wasn't the training there for him.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
With a sensitive dog like Blue, you want to have repetitions with calmness and going slow, which we don't have that opportunity.
Yeah, what I've noticed is even today when we got home from our adventure, I wanted to put him in the crate for a little bit. And you're right. Like it's like he puts on the brakes and I was trying to channel my inner Liz Foley. I often ask myself WWLFD. And so I'm trying to apply some of the strategies and techniques so that he makes the choice to go into the crate and it's not a forced choice. And I think I could have benefited in that scenario with a few more tools. I was using a slip, but I probably could have benefited from a little bit of food or treats for motivation just to try to get the brain moving forward and get him unstuck and have been a little more patient.
Yeah. I know that there are things that I want to work on this weekend. I was already thinking about it. Kind of, we've done some intro to place for him already. What I want to do is use the crate with the door open as place, so not a bed. So it's the kind of in-between step where if you're really struggling with teaching your dog place, maybe go back a step and let's use the crate, but with the door open, because you're getting assistance from the four walls, right? And all you have to worry about blocking is one door, and getting your dog comfortable with that. I worked with a woman not too long ago, a few weeks ago, via virtual consultation with her puppy. And we did that exercise, and this was a dog who hated the crate. And I was getting video updates where she texted me and she said, I fell asleep on the couch practicing place with the crate door open, and he didn't move from the bed, from Winner. The crate. So anyways,
amazing.
I want to do that with Blue so that he can start piecing together, right? That we're not going to lock you in that crate.
Crate means
that,
calm.
That may have been your association previously, but moving forward, even a door open doesn't mean fly through. This is your calm space. This is your house. You're safe there.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity to create a similar association with his little soft carrier, right? Mm-hmm. Baker loves his little house, his little bag.
Baker's fosters did a fantastic job with his crate training, because even though he was really insecure in other ways, he always was great with his crate.
Absolutely. And I'd love to get to the same point with Blue as well. I feel like I had a little bit of a breakthrough or win today. It seemed like before, whether we were in California or even here this week, trying to get him into his little soft carrier was kind of like one of those memes of like trying to put a cat down where they like spread all four legs out. And then, you know, so like that was him. But this morning I got him to go in the side just very calmly without really any pressure. He made the choice to go in. Same thing this afternoon when we were coming back from the workspace I was at. He went in on his own. So I feel like we're making a little bit of progress there.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, if you've got containment phobia, the crate that we're using at home is quite big for such a small dog. And then his soft carrier is much, much smaller. So that's got to feel very enclosed for him. But we're making great progress, I think, in a lot of areas with him.
Absolutely.
That being one of them.
What about boundaries? When you look at him and his comfort zone, what degree does he have experience with rules, boundaries, limitations? And where do you think we need to focus a little more?
Yeah, that kid doesn't really have boundaries. He wants to be very close. We joked that we should change his name to Shadow because he's the tiniest shadow. He's always, you're like, where is he? And he's like, don't sit down, you will sit on him. He's like that close. He wants to jump on the couch and be like right by you. So we're working on no furniture. We're working on, no, you don't need to follow me to the bathroom, thank you. And that sort of thing. Just because when you have a back of the pack dog, you need to understand that they're going to be leechy. They're going to want to be close to you. And it's our responsibility to empower them being away from us. But it's cute. It's endearing. But my goodness, with a dog that small, he could totally get injured, tripped up on or something like that. But also it's going to lead to further problems. That contributes and can lead to separation anxiety.
Yeah, I do worry about that with him. And it's difficult because he's so cute and he's so new. And I want to be kind of around him with him all the time. Mm-hmm. But I know that it's for all of our benefit to create that distance. And it is cute when he's our little shadow. Like the other day, after I spent a whole day with him, because you were at the doghouse, he literally followed me everywhere. Like half a step behind me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cute and so wrong.
What would Liz do?
What would Liz do? Put him in a crate or put him on place or. I mean, to your point, we're making a lot of good progress in just a matter of, it's been like 4 days.
Yeah, crazy.
3 days since we've come home, really. We've made a lot of progress. I mean, I even acclimatized him to the treadmill a couple times this week because it's been so darn cold here, especially compared to California's sunny blue sky 80 something degree days. I didn't want to go out, and he certainly was not comfortable out in the cold, even with a little sweater on.
That's something he's gonna need some time to acclimatize to, is just the snow and the weather.
Yeah, the first time we took him on a pack walk, actually we should talk about that, how we introduced him to the pack. but we took him on a walk with our boys. And you know what? He was pretty brave. He actually lasted longer than Baker on that walk. But then either the salt or the cold on his paws, you know, he just like curled his paws up and it's heartbreaking. And so we were like, okay, he did good.
Yeah. We're going to have to also get him used to wearing boots, all of this to come.
All of the things. But we've made a lot of progress. He took to the treadmill. He did the first day on the treadmill, 5 minutes, second day on the treadmill, 10 minutes, big win. Was in the car, no issues.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how we knew it was the right fit. Because again, this is not a decision to take lightly. Even our friend Yoa from Pomaly PR posted the other day that, you know, a decision to bring a dog into your family, it's like a 15-year commitment you need to be ready for, right?
Yeah.
And so you got to make sure that you're doing it rationally as well as emotionally. So what are some of the signs that we got, both spiritual, intellectual,
instinctual,
that suggested that this was the right dog at the right time for us?
Yeah, well, we talked about already his energy level, temperament, and pack position. We went, okay, he's farther back than our most back of the pack. So we know he'll surrender to Ty and be no problems there. So logically, it made sense in all like my dog training world. Easy going dog, definitely lower pack position than you and I. So easy to train or communicate at least. I've always known, I'm sure you are the same, much the same. We'll never have a dominant dog.
Absolutely not.
We're happy-go-luckies.
Yeah.
And we've really dialed into our own sensitivity that working with back-of-the-pack dogs comes quite naturally.
Although, can I just point out that I think this is teaching me more nuance in energy and pressure because, and we'll talk about this when I talk about my TCW experience, I'm very unfamiliar with working with stronger working breed dogs, bully breed dogs, and the amount of pressure that maybe I need to use that's a bit outside my comfort zone in order to communicate with dogs of that type. Same thing with super sensitive dogs. I'm realizing I need to really turn it down. And what, you know, I think is like a one on the energy and pressure scale might be like a three or four, especially with a guy like Blue. And so whether it's leash pressure, physical pressure and body space, or even like a redirection or something like that, got to keep it down.
Could you keep it down?
Keep it down.
Nuance is kind of my new favorite word, especially in the dog training world. But yeah, you're right on the money. Sensitive dogs are such a blessing for learning how to dial back, how to be soft, how to be strong with your calm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I was thinking about that today. That was stuck in my head a bit.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
Calm is strong. Anywhoozy. I'm going to say that all the time now, apparently.
We're going to get t-shirts that say anywhoozy. Hashtag anywhoozy. I love it.
One of the clear signs that I was getting more on a spiritual level, so stay with me here, everybody. Last time I was out at Training Caesar's Way, I was getting signs, I felt like. We took off, and on our flight, I saw 11:11. And then when we landed, I looked at my watch, and I saw 11:11. I was like, that's really, really interesting. What are the odds of that? Because of the time change, I saw 11 a.m. twice in the same day. I think just sometimes even seeing double time like that, 2:02, 7:07, I think it's like a little weird coincidence. There's something there. So I looked it up and it means, I think, that a spirit is with you. And I was like, that's really interesting because I feel like I kind of had a feeling Carmen was present. Just note that and like, thank you, Carmen, whatever you're trying to say, like, thank you. I guess I'm supposed to be here at this time. What's crazy is I started seeing it more and more, this double time. It wasn't always 11:11. It changed. I was like, okay, what the heck? I'm going to I'm going to message my energy lady and see what she says. And she said, yeah, it usually like new beginnings, you're on the right path, and or a spirit is with you. Spirits, even. Could be anyone, anything. So by the end of the week, I was like, what, Carmen, what is it? Like, tell me what is happening. What do you want me to see? What should I know? And the time was double time, and Roger came up for a demonstration. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
She wants me to adopt this little kid. And it wasn't, it's not a kid, it's a dog. So we tried and it fell through.
Right.
And so I was like, I misinterpreted it. Carmen, what was the message? And so again, this time coming out, I was seeing double time. I was like, okay, Carmen, hi, hello. I see you. I hear you. Thank you for being here. Roger was there again and we were hanging out with Roger. Fast forward to Saturday night in our hotel room. I'm cuddling with Roger and I'm just like, this is a really good dog. This is very sweet. Like, I felt that connection with him that I had been kind of searching for this whole time. I was like, oh my gosh, you kind of feel like you belong here. And so I was holding him and you came into the room and I said, I think this is a really good dog and he deserves a really good home. And you said, then he should be with us.
Yeah.
And you sat down on the couch and we had a conversation. Is Jeff on board? Is Jeff, are we really doing this? And I think I asked you that. I said, okay, is he our dog? And you said, yes. There was no hesitation, anything in your voice. And I looked at my watch and it was 7:07 on the dot.
Aw.
And it, to me, it was like, Carmen is a part of this decision and is saying yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That this is supposed to happen. All of it lines up. And it was just unbelievable. And so I talked to Michael, who does the meditation for Caesar Milan and all the students at Training Caesar's Way. And he was like, 7:07, really? He's like, maybe that has to do with the seven chakras. So many things. Anyways, I just felt like it really brought everything together. It felt like a very harmonious decision.
So I want to tell a Michael story as well. But before I do, I just had a realization. I haven't shared this with you yet. But maybe, just maybe, Roger wasn't meant to be the first time because I hadn't taken the course yet. And that I wasn't ready with the right tools to welcome a new dog into our pack. I hadn't thought about that till right now. And you were telling that story about Carmen.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I really blew Liz's mind mid-bite with that thought. I really think so because I feel like I'm in better agreement with you. And you even said to me when we were out there that you've never felt so supported and on the same page. And I think I've always been a very supportive partner.
You have, but now we actually speak the same language.
Yeah. We have the it's same like, vocabulary. We're able to use a lot of the same terms and phrases. And
you always understood it theoretically. Flawless. That's why we could have these conversations and host a phenomenal podcast. Now you can put it into action and you're only going to get stronger and stronger from that. Like, I'm really excited for your growth. Like, you're
thank you.
Jeff's going to become a dog trainer, yo.
You heard it here first. I did say to Liz, like, maybe I should shadow you on a couple of private sessions or something. So that's a realization I just had and mm-hmm. I'm going to stick to that. But coming back to the spiritual realm and something facilitated by Michael. So every day after lunch, there is a meditation session and there's this gentleman named Michael Burke mm-hmm. who facilitates these meditations.
He's amazing.
He is really amazing. And you can find him on Insight Timer. He has something like 55 meditations. They're free. Insight Timer. Download it. Check him out. But on the Friday, he was doing a grounding and visualization meditation, which was really cool. I'd never done anything like this before. And in the meditation, we were encouraged to visualize kind of going up over one of the hills at the DPC into a cove. And as I did and kind of got to that meditative state, Carmen was there. And it was just this beautiful moment. And I felt her energy and I felt her there. And then I saw a scene of three dogs running towards me, like our pack running towards me. And I knew it was Baker and I knew it was Ty. And there was a third dog there. And initially I was like, oh, of course, that's Carmen. It's a black dog. But I thought maybe it could also be Little Blue, Little Roger. Mm-hmm. So like that, I don't know, that spoke to me, right? That Carmen was there and that there was this sort of, not that Blue is replacing Carmen because she'll always be in our hearts, but that she was kind of saying, hey, it's okay. And it's time for you to grow your pack to three dogs again.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that Carmen's spirit, we both feel, is very strong at the DPC. There's something about it that pulls us back to her always. And I also just love that Carmen like is still speaking to us and like pushing through and like, hey guys, pay attention. Like, I know you'll listen because you might not listen to your instincts or your intellect or your emotions. And like, we like to play it safe a lot.
Yeah.
And I think we had a lot of concerns about getting a third dog. And it's like, no, this just makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, she was there in so many ways. I can't remember if it was that meditation or maybe it was on day one in my meditation where as I was opening the practice, I saw images of you and Carmen going up the road at the DPC up towards the Serengeti. And like, and it was me recalling your first trip to the DPC 7 years ago. And when I would drop you off and you and Carmen would go up the hill. So I was so grateful that I was reminded of that and that her spirit was there and that I saw you two together.
I love it. She's always with us. The force is strong with that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, but before we go, we've been using these names, Roger and Blue, kind of interchangeably.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
You might be really confused at this point. So let's set the record straight. His name is now Blue Foley Gadway, but his name was Roger. Mm-hmm. Why did we change it and why is it Blue?
So all our dogs are named after where they've come from. And so it started with Carmen. Carmen was from Playa del Carmen, and we just kept the name. And then we got Ty. Ty's original name was Timur.
Oh, yeah.
And we changed that because he's from Thailand. And then last was Baker, and Baker's from Bakersfield, California.
And what was his name?
His name was
Fletcher.
Yeah.
Fletcher, right.
Fletcher, which I was like, that's kind of a dope name.
Yeah.
But you got to fit with the family here.
So we knew it needed to change in order to fit in, but Santa from Santa Clarita or Claire from Santa Clarita or Val from Valencia didn't work.
Yeah.
Somebody suggested, actually, Javier, one of our listeners who was also at TCW, he suggested Angel from Los Angeles, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, but that's Carmen's middle name. She was Carmen Angel. Yeah, all dogs are angels.
They are.
Yeah, no. So we were stuck and it was you that came up with this. So you should explain it. Why Blue?
Okay. So the DPC, which truly played an instrumental role in Blue coming into our lives, is where we met him. It's where we got to know him. It's ultimately where we signed the paperwork. Cesar Millan's Dog Psychology Center is on Blue Cloud Road. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, Blue. Right. And it just seems like, I don't know, it took me a little while to get used to. I'll be honest, I was a little bit unsure because Roger's kind of a cool name. Mm-hmm. Doesn't fit the mold though, but he's just little. Blue's just a little name. Just quick. Blue.
And Blue's our favorite color. His collar's blue.
Yeah.
And now we can say, you're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue.
And I love old school, like a classic movie.
Classic.
Love Will Ferrell.
And we, as the more we get into it, we're like, Blue 42. Like, there's so many. Eiffel 65, Blue. That was like my favorite song in grade 7. Oh,
no.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, Tim's probably going to put a clip of it
in
here.
I hope he mixes it in. He's shaking his head. So his name is now Blue. He's part of the family. So we've got Ty, Baker, Blue, and Carmen is always with us. That's our little pack.
And I'm sure we'll have much more to share on this little guy and his adventures and how he does over time.
Blue part two.
Yeah. More to come on that for sure.
I hope you've enjoyed learning about our new dog. Excited to share more with you as we learn more about him and as he really gets acquainted to our family and to our pack. And also look forward to coming back and sharing a little bit more about my personal TCW experience and some of what I took away.
I'm really looking forward to that. As always, thanks so much for listening. And until next time, stay calm and assertive.
If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe button and leave us a comment or a review. We'd love to hear from you.
We release a new podcast weekly. Follow us on Instagram at Honest to Dog Podcast.
Honest to Dog Podcast is hosted by Liz Foley and Jeff Gadway. The show is engineered, edited, and produced by me, Timothy Musa. For all things training and daycare, check out doghouse.ca. doghaus.ca.